Just hours after the recent Florida shooting, these terms started to trend on Twitter and on Facebook. Hashtag gun control. Hashtag gun reform now. Well, you might think the trending topic emerged organically, fostered by some of the millions of Americans who are on those social media sites. In fact, flooding into the conversation were tweets sent out by hundreds of Russian bots. Their goal? To spread disinformation and to deepen the divide in the conversation in this country. Sam Woolley thinks a lot about bots and how to manage what's going on right now. He directs the research of the Computational Propaganda Project at Oxford University when he's not in Seattle working on his PhD at the University of Washington. Sam, welcome to The Record.
Thanks for having me.
You are talking to a bot idiot. Let's start with that term. We hear it thrown around a lot, but what exactly is a bot?
At its most basic level, a bot is just an automated piece of software designed to do something that a person would otherwise have to do online. Bots have existed online since the internet was public. They're an infrastructural element of online life. A lot of the time, though, when we talk about bots, we talk about social bots, which are automated software programs built to look like people and act like people. Oftentimes they're built to spread particular types of information, and they're not necessarily good or bad in and of themselves, but they do exist widely on sites like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
So we're hearing a lot about bots, not just in the Florida shooting aftermath, but also as Robert Mueller continues his investigation of what's going on with Russia. My big question is, how do I know, since I'm not face-to-face with an actual human, if I'm interacting with a person or with a bot?
It's really challenging. Increasingly, bots and the people who launch them are becoming more sophisticated. So in the way that they think about how manipulation occurs. So Facebook and Twitter don't do a lot to let us know whether or not we're talking to a bot. They have their own internal rules in their terms of service that prevent high degrees of automation on their sites. However, as we've seen with the Mueller investigation, but also with other political events, the platform's control of misuse of social bots and automation has failed.
Well, we're going to come back to that in a second, Sam Woolley, but I'm curious how the bots actually work, because as I was reading in particular in this recent indictment that there were bots that were working to support Trump and bots supporting Bernie Sanders and bots trying to organize various kinds of rallies. So what actually happens?
Right. So bots are used on social media oftentimes to amplify communications, to give the illusion of popularity to an issue or a candidate or an idea. During the 2016 election, bots were used to drive up traffic surrounding Donald Trump. They were also used to influence publics during key events throughout the election, whether it was the debates or other pivotal times throughout the election. The 7 days preceding the election, my research project studied the way that bots were driving particular hashtags surrounding the candidates, and we found that bots amplified speech about Donald Trump at a rate of 5 times more than they did for Hillary Clinton. Hmm. And the goal a lot of the time here is for the bots to both disinform people, so spread fake news, but also to generate confusion. And a lot of the Russian bots were built to simply confuse and create arguments and even offline protests so that the American public wasn't really focusing on the real issues, but they were focusing on specific splinter issues or other things.
Sam, you mentioned that Facebook, Twitter, other social media sites do have some capacity to confront and deal with bots. Are they willing to use that?
Facebook and Twitter and Google as well, because Google owns YouTube, have shown some willingness to address the issue of bots and the ways in which they drive disinformation on their platforms. However, all of these companies, in particular Facebook, have scaled it at such a quick rate that I think they kind of let things get a bit out of hand. And so they've come to the table to discuss how manipulation occurred during the 2016 U.S. election. But prior to that, teams like my team and others were doing research that showed that political manipulation and manipulation of social groups using bots and automation on social media were happening all around the world. We wrote case studies on Venezuela and Mexico. We spent time studying cases in Turkey, the Ukraine, South Korea. And so there was a bit of willful ignorance about this problem. And the social media companies now have to begin addressing the problem and taking steps to mitigate the misuse of bots and of manipulative anonymity in particular.
I'm talking about bots with Sam Woolley, who's an expert on computational propaganda, a title I've never heard before. And Sam, you said that these sites have to start doing that. That's your opinion. That's not something enforced by law, is it?
Well, increasingly, it is something that's going to be enforced by law and regulations. Countries like Germany and Brazil are putting laws on the books to deal with this problem. The United States is considering something called the Honest Ads Act to prevent misuse of political advertising on sites like Facebook. The companies themselves have discussed these ideas with Congress. And even in the city of Seattle, there's laws on the books that discuss what should and shouldn't happen with political advertising. And there's requirements about disclosures of who is attempting to manipulate us during elections. Until now, a lot of this has been ignored or by the platforms, and the platforms have also flown under the radar in terms of their role as media companies. They've sort of used this phrase, "We are not arbiters of truth. We're not media companies," when in fact they do curate information. They show us particular things in our news feed. They show us particular trends using algorithms that they build. So they do have a vested interest, and I think that the law will hold them accountable eventually.
You mentioned that the city of Seattle has some laws on the books. I understand the city's also been trying to get specific information from Facebook. What is that information?
I think that the logic from the city, but also from Washington State writ large, is that Facebook and other social media companies have shared information on political advertisements from Russia and from other potential external influencers during the election with the Mueller investigation. And so why haven't they shared them with Seattle? Because Seattle and the state of Washington have laws on the books that suggest that political advertisements must be disclosed to the city and the state. The idea here is that when we had TV and radio influencing us, it was important for us to know who was buying the ads, who was selling them. But now that Facebook is interacting directly with the campaigns, Facebook, Twitter, and Google all had embedded employees with the Trump campaign, working with them to harness political communication in an effective way. We need to know exactly who's buying and selling these advertisements and who's working to manipulate the American public. There's laws on the books from the Federal Elections Commission about foreign actants interfering in American elections, and that's what we've been seeing in 2016 and what we'll likely see in 2018.
It's interesting. Right now, we are tweeting out facts from the show, portions of our conversation. Twitter especially has been a vehicle for politicians and journalists to either gather information or send out or to do both. So how damaging is it to have this bot disinformation floating about on sites where a lot of us are trying to get at the truth?
Right. So Twitter, it's particularly damaging on a site like Twitter because Twitter is a space where perhaps we don't have a larger majority of the public hanging out like we do on Facebook, but we do have a lot of journalists and politicians spending time on Facebook and also getting breaking news from Twitter. And so the problem here is that there becomes a sort of manipulation of those in the highest positions of power, of influencers. And in fact, Douglas Gilbo of the University of Pennsylvania and myself wrote a paper called Computational Propaganda in the U.S. Election. And we found that people in the highest levels of influence, be it Donald Trump, Sean Hannity, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, all of these people in U.S. politics were actively engaging with bot-driven content on Twitter, or also resharing or retweeting or liking it. And so we were able to deduce that bots really had an effect on the flow of information during the 2016 election.
And ultimately, how did that affect us as the citizens of this country?
I think it affects us because it prevents us from having genuine discourse about the issues. It really prevents us from being able to know what is true and what's not true, and creates a massive amount of distrust in media institutions writ large. Right now, we don't know what the effects of bot traffic and disinformation were upon actual votes. It's really hard to determine that. But there's increasingly more and more experimental research showing how these things affect us in the way that we think.
So all I'm flashing on right now, Samuel, is an image of Samuel Paine taking out his soapbox and standing on it in the town square to talk about whatever it was that he believed in. Mm-hmm. We didn't know whether that was true either. I guess now it's even more confusing, and I'm wondering what we as consumers of all this content can do to either vet or at least try to protect our democracy.
Right, you know, and if Samuel Paine had been standing up on the soapbox and there was 10,000 robots in the crowd supporting him, we'd be even more concerned. The
yes.
idea is that automation and anonymity have really driven this issue and created a new form of propaganda. And consumers, they have a role, sort of a twofold role. One is to let their local congresspeople know that they are concerned about the lack of oversight of social media companies during elections. So they should let them know that they want laws on the books to track political advertising to prevent misuse of bots and automation. But also, consumers have got to work to educate themselves. There's groups like Hamilton 68, which have built a dashboard that tracks Russian propaganda. Mm. There's First Draft, which is located out of Harvard, and they track and do fact checking, mostly around fake news. And then there's Data and Society, which is a institute in New York that is doing a lot of great work on the alt-right and the spread of disinformation. And lastly, there's my new lab at the Institute for the Future. It's called the Digital Intelligence Lab. And we're really working to bring tech companies to the table to discuss this stuff and to generate collaborative solutions to this problem.
Well, Samuel, we're going to be following the progress of that as well. And audience, we will have those resources at our website. You'll find it at kuow.org. Samuel Lee is Director of Research of the Computational Propaganda Project at Oxford University. And I guess, Sam, in your spare time, you're getting your PhD from the University of Washington.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time in Seattle, and I'm going to get my PhD soon. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.